This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, female peacekeepers add an extra dynamic to teams in the field, breaking barriers that allow women civilians to describe what's really going on inside their communities. That's the view of Major Fiona Bruce from the Australian Defence Force, who served in the UN's Truce Supervision Organisation in both Lebanon and Syria. In an interview ahead of UN Peacekeeping Day, marked on the 29th of May, Major Bruce highlights the fact that people going through crisis and conflict still view the UN in high regard. Julia Dean from our UN Australia country team spoke to her online and began by asking about her old daily routine serving in Lebanon.
So I was deployed to Observer Group Lebanon from December 2018 through to June 2019. And in that job there, I was a United Nations military observer. So what that means is in a small group, my team had 10 of us. We had a defined area of responsibility, and we would conduct daily patrols along the blue line between Israel and Lebanon, which was the withdrawal line from 2000. And then we'd also conduct village patrols and key leadership engagements with leaders from the local Lebanese community through to security forces.
So just on the first one, on patrolling those different areas, what was it actually like?
Yeah, so it was a fairly interesting time to get to Lebanon. So when I arrived, there was an Israeli Defence Force operation called Operation Northern Shield, which commenced, I think, the day that we landed for induction training in Jerusalem. And that was with some tunnels that were allegedly to be found dug beneath where the blue line is situated. So during the first sort of initial month, our patrols consisted of static patrols. So we would go to a defined observation point to observe what was occurring on the Israeli side and then the reaction to the Lebanese side to ensure that there was no sort of inflamed tensions, because it was quite a tense situation occurring. But what that looked like is we would do mobile patrol in an armoured vehicle, and I would be with a colleague from another nation, and we'd also have a language assistant, so a local Lebanese member who'd been employed by the UN to act as our interpreter. And one of the main things that UNSO, the mission, is quite proud of is in order for us to make an observation, we have to have it verified by a person of a different military, different nation. So, you know, every day I'd be in a car with my colleague from, say, China or Russia or New Zealand. So every day was different. That's one of the things that was, quite interesting, particularly during that first month where it was quite tense. And then the reaction to what was going on started to ease quite a bit, which was good for the last sort of 5 months in Lebanon.
And what about working with colleagues from different cultures?
I think that's probably my fondest memory of working for UNSO. Joining the military, I never would have imagined that I would be working so closely with an officer or a soldier from Russia or China. You know, it's not something that, of course, our Defence Force does do. And we do have working relationships with the countries, but it's not something that I ever thought that I would be in a position to be able to do. From a culture point of view, it was really fascinating, not just down to language, but just down to simple things like the level of driving competencies across the team, how we interpret something from a military perspective or from a cultural perspective inside, you know, if we're doing a leadership engagement in the Lebanese community.
You then moved on to the observer group in Golan. What were your first impressions?
So in June 2019, I transferred to observer group Golan based in Syria. And to do this, you actually drive from Lebanon across into Syria. And I remember driving down off the mountain range that separates the two countries, nervous and excited at the same time, and not really sure what was going to sort of hold me in the future, because everything that I knew about Syria was, like most people, which was based off the news. But before I even put in the base that I was going to live on, I was really in awe of the Syrian population. I met some people at the border point who were just happy to practice their English skills with me. And I think also really excited to see myself and my colleague, who was a Finnish officer, a female Finnish officer, to see two women in uniform. So we had a bit of a photo and a chat. And that sort of really set a positive tone for my rest of my time in Syria.
Just on that, why was that important for you?
I think it was really nice that you can see that no matter what the population is going through, you know, they view the UN in such a high regard, and they wanted us there, which really sort of took away some of the concerns that I had about moving into a country that's still at war, being an unarmed observer. It's still quite a hard mental shift as a military or professional military officer to be in a dangerous environment, or what you think is a dangerous environment, unarmed. It sort of goes against a lot of our training. But I realised at that point that everyone here is just wants better for him, and we had a small role to play in that. So that was really important for me. And
the women, like, do you think the women make a difference in situations, both for other women peacekeepers and for people on the ground?
Yeah, definitely do. I found that particularly there was not many women in the mission when I was there. So in my team in Lebanon, I was the only female in my team. For a good 3 or 4 months, I was the only female in the two teams who we co-located in a patrol base. So having a female on a team adds a different dynamic. So
what dynamic would you say?
I think it just sometimes it could be challenging given the cultural sensitivities. So initially doing some engagements in Lebanon or engagements with the population in Syria, you're aware that from a cultural and a religious point of view, they might not fully, well, you think that they're not going to fully accept you as a female into the meeting and include you. But I actually found the opposite was true. Aside from the religious protocols of perhaps not shaking somebody's hand, I think that everyone actually valued me because I was a professional military officer, and having the ability to talk in a Middle East sort of customary way about family and you know, things like sport really sort of set aside any sort of concerns that I had. And I was always treated with the utmost respect, and I found that that really was quite different to how I thought it would be. I thought it would be almost more combative and I would be shut out of meetings. But the opposite was true, and definitely with some people, it was preferred that I'd be there because maybe I brought a different dynamic and it wasn't so serious initially, or I could deflect the, you know, if the conversation was not going the way that either party wanted, I could bring a different sort of lightness to it.
But also, what about on the ground outside with the local populace? Do you think that it made a difference to them? Have you got any experiences either in Lebanon or Syria about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think, there was one of the towns where in Lebanon that we did a lot of our shopping, for example, called Bin Jebel. And I remember walking into a bakery, and it was a new bakery, and we were excited because it was a new business that we could help contribute to local economy.
You were in uniform?
And I was in uniform with colleagues, and we were buying some bread for dinner and lunch that day. And the women were really surprised to see a female in uniform, even though they have female soldiers and officers in the Lebanese army. And I think because I was there having a chat with them, you know, you could break down a different barrier as well and have a chat to them. And it was really important because then I could also, they'd be comfortable to tell me about what was going on in the village, or they'd raise a concern that I could then communicate up to the chain of command. And then also in Syria, we didn't have as much interaction with the local population. Just it was a different mandate we were under in Syria. But again, if we're in Damascus shopping, you know, I think the women and the kids were really surprised to see again another a foreign female in a uniform. Again, the Syrians have females in their security forces, so that's not uncommon to them, but it is still quite different.
Is it important to have women in peacekeeping, do you think?
Definitely. And if anything, you know, the peacekeeping is about moving to an area that's gone through whatever sort of conflict they've gone to and helping to establish again the routine and the norms so government can come back and govern their people in a safe and democratic way. And I think in order for the population to have trust in that, it needs to be balanced. It needs to be males and females represented in the UN to do that. And if anything, in some communities, sometimes, you know, in a matriarchal society, women are really key. And the local population, they might be run by the female leaders. So having a female peacekeeper in uniform, it's a really essential part of any sort of team that you're organising there.
And just on a personal development side, has the opportunity of being a peacekeeper in two areas, in Lebanon and Syria, added to the way that you work and the way that you observe the world?
Yeah, I think I definitely have changed for the better. And I think every experience that I've done in the military, sort of look back on it and you can see what you've learned. But more so with my time with UNSA and the UN, if anything, I actually think I'm a little bit more patient now, which my family will still laugh at. And you can understand that, you know, you might go into an area with with a high expectation of how everyone will operate, because that's what you know from your training. But because in the UN it's a diverse team, you have people from different backgrounds, different from a military and a civilian point of view, different cultures, different countries, different languages, different experiences. So the baseline changes constantly of that assumed knowledge. And that's really grounding, because it actually, sometimes you're like, oh, hang on, I'm actually not the subject matter expert in this. I can learn. And I think if anything, the amount that you learn from being in a multinational environment is that sort of lifelong skill that I just haven't had replicated in such a condensed manner before. And I really look fondly back at my time last year. It's a life-changing experience.